parks, golf courses, and marinas reopen, in some places with some rules. Welcome to the South Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. This week, you could golf again, launch a boat, play tennis, shoot hoops, or go for a walk in the park in some areas. Many parks reopened for the first time in more than a month, but not all. Some cities are keeping their green spaces closed for now. Those that are open require visitors to wear face masks and stay at least 6 feet away. No basketball games, no soccer games, and no doubles tennis. If you have visited a park or plan on taking advantage of the reopening of some parks, golf courses, and marinas, what precautions will you take? Phone lines are open now, 800-743-9576, 800-743-9576. The South Florida Roundup made possible by Willie the Bee-Man, bee removal specialist. Welcome to the South Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening this week. Broward, Miami-Dade, and Palm Beach counties are excluded from the statewide first phase of reopening the Sunshine State. Now, the three counties did take a bit of a step this week, though, reopening parks, marinas, golf courses, and other recreational spaces.
A little bit of social pressure never hurt anybody.
We also expect that folks maintain what we have done to get us where we are today, and that is the social distancing.
If people do not abide by the rules, they will be escorted out.
That was the mayors of Broward, Miami-Dade, and Palm Beach counties stressing social distancing rules are in place, even as parks, marinas, and golf courses in some places reopen. People are required to wear face coverings, masks. Boats have to remain 50 feet apart. Singles tennis? Yeah, go ahead. Not doubles. And solo racquetball. WLRN is hearing from listeners about whether they're planning to go to a park or launch a boat on the water. Lynette Serlo sent us this voice memo.
Hello, this is Lynette Serlo. I'm a mom of four kids in Davie. The parks reopened throughout the South Florida area. My family and I were thinking about going to one today. We were going to get some drive-through or take-out lunch and then go to one of the parks and have a picnic. It's been tough to find places to go to when you leave the house. Obviously, we're staying at home as much as possible, but when you do need to leave the house just for mental health, there really was no place to go.
On Twitter, we also heard from folks. Ingrid M. Gonzalez-Castillo, who tweets at the new Gus, wrote us, "I don't want to rush and in the process undo everything we have all done. There's plenty to do and stay entertained with indoors until this is long behind us." Sarah Tingle on Facebook sent us this note, "My family and I will be staying home." So how about you? Have you been out to the parks? Do you plan on going out on the water if you need to launch a boat, if you've got access to a boat? What about playing golf, walking a golf course? We're taking your phone calls here as we're up on this Friday afternoon on the South Florida Roundup. Do you plan on taking a walk at the park, going for a jog? 800-743-WLRN, 800-743-9576. And we are joined here by two county parks directors. Dan West has the role in Broward County, and Maria Nardi holds that title in Miami-Dade. To both of you, welcome to the South Florida Roundup. Thank you for your time here on this Friday. Dan, let's begin in Broward County. What are the rules if someone plans on going to a Broward County park? For instance, Lynette, if she goes and has a picnic for her family, will she be allowed to put out the blanket?
Well, good afternoon, Tom, and it's nice to be on the program. And the rules are pretty simple. It's so very much like most of the park systems in South Florida, but even around the country, we seem to have all shared the same kind of experiences, and they're pretty simple. Visitors are not allowed to enter the park if they have COVID-19 symptoms. Physical distancing, just like in anywhere in the county or anywhere in the country, is 6 foot minimum required. All visitors must have face coverings to wear if they are within a 6 foot distance with one another. We know some guests can't wear a face mask because of prior medical conditions, but we always encourage guests to have those available and have them on when they're, close to someone else. Mm-hmm. And again, guests must follow the CDC guidelines on personal hygiene And as we've seen around the country, groups of 10 and less are permitted. But if you have over that size, then obviously it's a different story.
The first consideration there you gave us, Dan, was no one displaying signs of an infection. Are there health checks at the gates for Broward County Parks?
No, and that would be probably physically impossible. We have talked about those kinds of things, but obviously we have to have some trust, just like we have in the around the county as well, and I'm sure around the country. But it's not like you can many of our parks have more than one entrance, and certainly it's been thought of. But I think the best thing we can hope for is that we have signage up that explains our rules, and we certainly leave that up to the visitors to make sure that they abide by the rules.
Maria Nardi directs the parks in Miami-Dade County. Any other types of rules for Miami-Dade folks that may go visit the parks this weekend?
Tom, thank you for having me on the show. And I think we worked together. This was part of a collaborative process where we got together with municipalities and the different counties to come out with similar rules. So we share those same rules. If you are sick, please stay home. And if you come out to a park, implement the social distancing, wear face masks. If you are not able to, where difficulty to attain social distancing, if you can't stay 6 feet away, you have to wear your face mask. I think for us, what this shows us is, there's a need for parks in people's lives. And we are very, glad to have people come out and enjoy parks in a safe way. We recognize the benefits, the health benefits of parks to your mental well-being, your physical well-being, your spiritual well-being. So we hope this is an opportunity where people can come out of their homes, get some fresh air, enjoy it responsibly, and just have a good time. This weekend promises to be a beautiful weekend, so we hope people will take this time to enjoy it, and once again, in a safe manner where everyone can stay safe and healthy.
800-743-WLRN. That's our telephone number, talking to the two directors of the county parks, Miami-Dade County, as well as Broward County. Those spaces reopening with social distancing guidelines in place here to continue to fight the spread of COVID-19, but a slow phased reopening of some portions of our community this weekend in South Florida. Do you plan on going to the park? Perhaps you've already visited one of those parks. Share that experience with us. 800-743-9576. Maria, let me ask you about the specific example that one of our listeners gave us that you heard just a few moments ago from Lynette Serlo, talking about getting some takeout food and going to have a picnic at a park. Is that allowable with these guidelines?
Yes, absolutely. So what we are not in, what we want to make sure doesn't happen in parks is that we have no gatherings of 10 people or more, no parties, no special events where you have a lot of people congregating in the area, and that's what we want to avoid. And that's specifically also what the emergency order or the executive order dictates. No gatherings and no groups of 10 or more persons congregating in the area.
I want to ask about enforcement in a few moments. Dan West in Broward County, what are the sanitation procedures for the parks, given that the concern for a surge remains?
Well, and that's a good question. I think Maria, as she has pointed out, we've all talked about this. And it we have a really good network, not just locally but nationally, on these kinds of issues, and obviously everybody's got a different take on it, but overall, if we do have restroom facilities open, we put up signage, we obviously tell people that we will perform frequent cleaning more than we normally do, and extra measures are taken to increase sanitation protocols every 2 to 3 hours, but with that said, people still have to take more precautions when they're coming into areas like this, because there's going to be people that are using the facilities that, frankly, you just don't know. And so signage is in place and sanitation is in place, but you still have to be very, very careful.
What about handrails and those other types of hardware that, you know, the handle on the fence that surrounds the tennis court, things that we wouldn't think twice about 6 weeks ago, but now we may pause.
And without a doubt, that's exactly the same precautions you take in a grocery store or anywhere else where you're out in the public. You have to take that same precaution in a park, and you can't take it for granted, even though we will do our best to limit use in certain areas like playgrounds, outdoor fitness station areas, places where we know people would congregate and would use the same equipment. We've closed those off, and we've made it very clear that those facilities will not be open. But, you know, you still have to take the precautions, and sanitation is one of the biggest items that we have, not just to protect the public, to also protect our staff.
Yeah. Important point there, Maria, right? Playgrounds still remain off limits at parks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So bike racks, playgrounds, exercise equipment, those are off. Those are closed, as are our recreation buildings, our indoor buildings, gymnasiums, campgrounds, our skate parks, splash pads, swimming pools. So we're talking about areas where that are greatest points of contact. In our bathrooms, we have them open. However, we're making sure that we have janitorial services providing additional cleaning for those areas. And in addition to that, we're making sure that we allow one person at a time, so there are no more than one person, with the exception if you're there with, you know, a mom and two kids, or yeah, with your immediate family, that you can go in there and use the bathroom safely.
Almost like a bathroom attendant, so to speak, back in the
day.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. But limiting the number of folks there. 800-743-9576, talking with the chiefs of parks in Miami-Dade County and Broward County, as those county parks are open. And folks may be taking advantage of some of that green space here. What are your experiences? 800-743-9576. What questions do you have about what is going to be acceptable behavior and what you need to be prepared for? Let's see here. We've got Yetta in Lake Worth. Go ahead, Yetta. You're on the radio now.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you for having me.
Sure. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Yeah, I wanted to say I am super excited and really, really, really grateful that you guys have opened up the park. I am a mom of a 22-month-year-old baby, and also I have my mom at home, and she's 73, and thank God she's very healthy. Everybody's doing as well as can be expected. But having the open air and being able to bring my daughter out, knowing that that we can kind of get out and run around a little bit, I am super happy about it. Obviously, you know, I think it's important to be very conscientious and cautious. But I also think it's important not to be paralyzed with fear, because it would just, if I wasn't able to get out and if I wasn't able to exercise on a daily basis, I think that I would have gone crazy. I mean, we're on day 46, I think, of this COVID-19 thing. So it's a lot, but I'm excited about the freedom, and I'm looking forward to some more.
Yet I appreciate the input there, and good luck with mom and the baby, for that matter, in Lake Worth. Maria Nardi, let me ask you, she's got a 22-month-old, so I don't think that age has to wear a face covering if they're going to be going to the park, correct?
That's right. Yeah, no, they would not have to wear a face covering. And, you know, one of the things that just in rolling this out and what was brought up, and I just want to reiterate it because I think it's important. Mayor Jimenez convened a work group for us to be able to roll this out in a very calculated way, if you will, so that we make sure that we have all of our precautions, all of our boxes checked off, and we engaged the health community throughout this entire process because we thought it was, you know, very important. And part of the team that the mayor assembled as well were leaders in the community and professionals that could really talk and guide us through what does the opening look like. So all of coming out, and I can understand some people may have some concerns and about coming out again, right, in terms of going out to the outdoors. And this is why we want to once again ask everyone that when you are out enjoying a park, that you remember that, you know, make sure you take care of yourself, mind your protocol, and other people, I think, will follow.
Dan West, who directs parks in Broward County, the previous caller, Yetta, in Lake Worth, did remind us many days into the kind of stay-at-home order we are here in South Florida. Have the parks been maintained? Has the grass been cut and the you know palm fronds been picked up over this time period?
Yes. In fact, we've had quite a bit of time to be able to do some of the things we haven't been able to do for months. And there's something that caller said that I thought was really good, and it was a good point that we need to keep in mind. Although this was a tragedy by every point, and I don't think anybody would have known, would have been able to understand how devastating this was to everything we do. But it also showed one of the most important things we have, and that's our parks and the outdoors, the sunlight, getting out and walking the trails and seeing the things that we offer, the green space and the opportunities for the physical activity. So it really seemed to us that this was one of those things that we know it does reduce stress, and I think it does improve mental health. I think even physical health with the sunlight. So we were able to keep our parks at a level that I think that we've been able to enjoy, but this gave us about a month to really make these places look really good, and we've gotten really good reviews back that our trails have never been better, and our parks are have never been cleaner.
Yeah.
We've been able to repaint facilities and all the other things. So if we can do this right, and we can, as we've said, crowded parks equal closed parks, we meant that by the fact that we want people to come to the parks but kind of limit their time, be able to enjoy them, and keep moving around. And I think we're going to find that we can keep these parks open indefinitely. And as we saw out on the West Coast, Portland, Seattle, the other park systems, some of those parks didn't even close, but they made it very clear that if they have overcrowding, they're going to have to look at other ways to factor in to reduce.
Maria, hold with us. Dan West with Broward Parks, the director there. Maria Nardi, the director of Miami-Dade County Parks. Your phone calls, 800-743-9576. Dan alluded to crowds at parks. We're going to talk about enforcement as some of the green spaces, recreational spaces in South Florida begin to open up here in the days ahead. Open now, as a matter of fact, as we're talking on the South Florida Roundup here on this Friday. 800-743-9576. More to come. We're back on the South Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening this week and for supporting public radio. Some parks, marinas, golf courses, among other outdoor spaces, are reopened across South Florida. And on this Friday, the governor announced the state parks can reopen on Monday, part of the first phase of the statewide reopening. However, South Florida excluded from much of that. Also on Monday, Everglades National Park is reopening the Flamingo Marina and boat ramps and the park's main road. These outdoor spaces have provided some relief for people who've been stuck indoors for quite a while now to fight the spread of COVID-19. Fabio Kern went out on a paddleboard at Crandon Park on Wednesday this week, the first day of reopening in Broward, Miami-Dade, and Palm Beach counties.
It's just a little breather, right? It's just a little break on the whole quarantine thing.
That whole quarantine thing meant that Kern was wearing a surgical mask out on the water. Those masks are required if you want to spend some time at parks. We're back on the telephone with us here, and you at 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN, taking your phone calls. Dan West is the head of the Parks Department of Broward County. Maria Nardi is the same in Miami-Dade County. Let's talk about enforcement here, Maria. As we saw on Thursday, the City of Miami Beach issued a number of citations for folks not following protocol with face masks. And in fact, the city kind of threatened that it may have to close some of those public spaces if folks don't put the masks on. What's the enforcement like in Miami-Dade County?
Well, I have to say, first, regarding that, Tom, I'm incredibly proud of Miami-Dade County Park team in putting together this massive effort in the launching of a soft opening on Wednesday, because the entire coordination with multiple agencies, a big thank you to my team and also to Miami-Dade Police Department, who partner with us with enforcement. And we've been working together as well as hiring other staff to help us make sure that people follow the rules. One thing we want to make sure is that we address folks that are not abiding by the rules, so that we don't ruin everything for the rest. And our mayor has been very clear, zero tolerance for folks that don't abide by the rules.
Does that zero tolerance, Maria, mean a ticket, meaning that folks would be warned once or twice? Would they be escorted out of a park if they won't put a mask on yet when they're ordered to?
Yes, correct. I think a couple of things. You know, this constitutes a violation offense. So they will be ticketed. Violators will be provided with, will be asked to leave the park. We just want to make sure that that is something that people understand, that there is zero tolerance for that. I want to thank the community, though, because I can tell you so far in Miami-Dade County Parks, everyone has been abiding by the rules. And not only that, but I hear some folks are, when they see other park goers in the park who are in close distance, they kindly request, put on a mask and make sure that both of us can use the park safely.
Kindly request. I like that, Maria. Yes. Kindly request. Your phone call's here. Chantel in Miami on line one. Go ahead, Chantel. You're on the radio.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. There's a saying in education, inspect what you expect. And I think the person who spoke last kind of touched on it a little bit. My thing is, how are you guys going to enforce this? And are you going to have additional staff to make sure that people are not exposed? Because some people really don't care, considering we don't have testing enough. We don't know who has this thing, who doesn't. So I want to know, as a citizen, what are the necessary steps that you guys are going to take to make sure that if I go to a park that I'm safe? Thank you for taking my call.
Chantel, appreciate that. I'm going to clarify something I mentioned earlier regarding Miami Beach on Thursday. It issued warnings, not citations. I believe over 500 of them for folks not wearing masks. Maria, I'll have you address that first, because in Miami-Dade County, the county has gone out and hired 400 people to be enforcers as the open spaces reopen.
Correct. So we hired 400 people, and in addition to that, we have about 200 police crossing guards that are helping us out as well as police in roving crews, another 200 there. And that's in addition to park staff that are there on a regular basis. And I think it comes to this. A lot of that, we have to take self-responsibility and accountability for that. So part of it, like I said, is being able to have people educate, bring awareness, and remind everyone to use, maintain social distancing, use masks, and also, help each other kindly, like I said before. remember that's what we need to do if we want to enjoy the park.
Maria, certainly the police officers are empowered to kind of enforce these rules by the threat of a citation or a warning or something more severe. But what about those other 400 folks that have been hired to enforce these? In other words, do they have a pad of warnings that they can write out? Are they empowered to escort somebody out of a park if they refuse to abide by the rules?
No. So what we have is our protocol is kind of a three-step protocol. You'll be reminded maintain social distancing, wear a mask if you're not able to maintain social distancing. If somebody does not want to abide by that, we have our handouts, the rules to remind them. And the third time, we call the police for them to, engage with the individual. It has, I have to say, we have not really had to enforce that. There's been one instance where there was just some confusion about what they can and cannot do. So far, I want to thank the community in Miami-Dade County because they have been abiding by the rules. This is going to be a learning process. This is a learning curve, I think, for everyone. It's a new normal. It's moving to a new normal. And I think the ability to come out to parks and test what that, you know, behavior needs to be like and look like, I think, is a way to also, establish the behavior that we then need to model probably for the many months to come.
We've got a lot of phone calls with a lot of great questions about dog parks, for instance, farmers markets. But Dan West, the head of the Parks Department of Broward County, I wanted you to chime in here on the enforcement side in Broward County. What is that going to be looking like?
Well, we've been working very closely with the Broward Sheriff's Office and obviously all the other law enforcement agencies, including municipalities, law enforcement agencies, and any personnel that are involved in the Broward County Code of Ordinances. So we've got the, I don't believe, at least at this point, that we don't have the full authority plus the, the ability to do all the things to enforce the emergency orders. And we have park rangers and park greeters just like Miami-Dade, and certainly not, notwithstanding, we have the public that have over the last month learned a lot of lessons on social distancing. So we're hoping, it was very surprising on the first day, we thought we might have more problems, but in the very first day we had a steady stream of visitors on the opening day, which was Wednesday, and it seemed like most people were very appreciative of having the access. And so my word on this is that if we take it slow, gradually open parks, and see where we're at in a week, 2 weeks, we can then see if we can if we need to implement additional measures, we will. This weekend will be a good test to see where we're at. And I think with that said, we have people that are just appreciative of being back outdoors again. And if they take it safe and they do the things that we're asking them to do, we're going to be fine.
We got a lot of phone calls here, lots of questions for you folks. The heads of the Parks Department of Broward County, you just heard him there. That is Dan West, and Maria Nardi is also with us. She heads up the Parks Department in Miami-Dade County. Let's go to Aventura and Mike on line four.
Hi.
Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm a blind person, and I was wondering, number one, what happens if a person can't wear a mask because he has trouble breathing or can't deal with it? And how in the heck do you deal with social distancing if you're totally blind? Even though you use a cane, it's still difficult.
Mike, let's tackle that first one first, Maria. How about the issue of masks? If someone has a pulmonary issue already or difficult breathing, are they going to be required, must have a mask on at all times?
No, you're not required to wear a mask if you have pulmonary and a chronic pre-existing condition, trouble breathing or a pre-existing condition. No.
And Dan, any guidance for Mike as someone who's visually impaired to try to respect that 6-foot difference?
Well, certainly it's an issue that we have even in the good times. We all know it's important to help everyone out that come into our parks. And obviously we have the trails. We're trying to mark the trails. This is really important for everyone. We're trying to mark the trails one way for everyone that uses the trails in our parks. And certainly that doesn't always apply in every case because we have some trails that are not like that. But I would certainly say to the person, the caller on the line, that they can when they get into the park, they can, if they do see someone that is there that can help them, we will be there for them. But the ADA issue is one that we certainly need to keep looking at. And I don't think there's an easy answer to dealing with that I do know this. Most people that we've seen so far in the last 2 days have been out to our parks, and now this will be our third day, have been respecting one another and keeping the distance. So,
what about the state of dog parks? Are those open?
Dog parks are not open, and we've together, Maria and Eric Call in Palm Beach County, as well as the other counties in South Florida, have stated those are off limits at this point in time, along with the playgrounds and other facilities.
Gotcha. All right. Art in Miami on line two. Art, you're up. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. This is Art Frieder from Urban Oasis Project. We run some of the farmers markets in Miami-Dade, like at Legion Park and at the Tropical Park. So I was curious if there's any ideas, thoughts around when those farmers markets are going to be able to reopen and what kind of extra support the parks are going to be able to offer to make sure that they're safe and sanitary. In a lot of places, the farmers markets were never closed because they are essential businesses, but here they were all closed pretty quickly.
Yeah. Great question, Art. I appreciate that. Maria, how about some of these farmers markets in county parks?
Yeah. So right now we're going to be looking at what phase two looks like for parks. And I can tell you that, the mayor will be following the same protocol that he followed, which is bringing everyone together and our health experts to advise us on how to move forward with that.
So no plans yet to bring back the farmers markets.
No plans yet. But we will be looking at that probably as part of a phase two or phase three.
More questions here. Mark in Miami, you are up next. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, how y'all doing? I was just curious if there's any mountain bike parks going to be opening in Miami or Broward County, in Dade County or Broward County.
Good question, Mark. Some of those mountain bikes paths can be pretty narrow and pretty technical and also pretty crowded on beautiful weekends. Dan, how about Broward County?
Well, we have one mountain bike trail open, and that's at Markham Park. And that's it's a very long linear pathway, but it's very wide. And we have only open to those guests that already have a mountain bike pass. And they've been watched the video, they've got the training, and they've signed the waiver. So far, and again, the same thing applies there, is social distancing, biking the same way. You still have to maintain the distance. And we are having monitors out on the mountain bike trail as well at the gate, so we can monitor and at least try to measure the amount of guests on the trail at any one time.
Maria, in Dade County, there's a network of trails out on Virginia Key. Is that a county park or is that city?
That's a city park.
Okay, so that's not required. That would be closed, and we'll talk with the Miami Mayor, Francis Suarez, a little bit later in just a few moments, as a matter of fact. But what about biking in Miami-Dade County parks?
Right. So we have one mountain biking trail at Amelia, and if you're able, of course, to and our trails are pretty narrow, that only allow one person to be there. Right now, all of our concessions are closed. Mountain biking is allowed on trails like other trails, other bicycle trails throughout our network, as long as, once again, you abide by the rules of social distancing.
Yeah. Of course, another big unanswered questions here regarding open spaces is the beach. Beaches are still closed for most of South Florida. They open for residents only in Key West. Never closed in Monroe County. The Miami Beach Mayor, Dan Gelber, talked about the possibility of reopening on CNN this morning, Friday morning. Here's what he said.
I don't know that we're going to be able to open up our beaches really before June. I would be surprised if we, said we're open for business. I mean, look, the problem with this was that people didn't realize there was a silent virus spreading through the community, and everybody got in too late. We were the first to shelter, and we got in too late.
Maria, for Miami-Dade County, what are the considerations? What's the conversations regarding the future of the beach?
So I think we're going to follow the advice of our health experts. I know that the mayor is in conversations with all of the, the municipalities, certainly Miami Beach and other municipalities that are on the coast along the beach. So right now, that may be part of another phase two. But at this moment, we're going to keep them closed.
And Dan, how about in Broward County? The conversations there.
And we're not privy to every part of it because there are different municipalities that have the beaches in Broward County. But I think it's the same as what Maria said. We're working really closely with Miami-Dade and Broward and Palm Beach, just because if one opens up a beach and another doesn't, it ends up becoming a problem for the other counties. So we're going to stay within the same, I guess, we're going to talk about these things as we go along. We would be very surprised if those would open soon, but the county leaders and certainly the cities will be involved in that discussion when it happens.
Dan, you bring up a really important point, which is the coordination here. Maria, you spoke about that in Dade County. Tell me about who is kind of leading that. Who is ultimately going to make that call for the beaches so that there is a coordination, so that not any one municipality opens up a beach, whereas the others may not, and you are then inviting crowding on the sand?
I can tell you that our mayor has been in conversation with the Broward and the other county mayors to make sure that everyone is, you know, coordinated, opens up in a coordinated manner. And we worked in the same way for the opening up of parks. So that coordination also happened with Broward and Palm Beach and Monroe. So I know that.
It worked on the county level, certainly for parks, but as we're going to be talking about in just a few moments with the mayor of Miami, not every municipality has signed on to the opening of the recreational spaces. So, Dan, as beaches begin to be talked about, what are the lessons drawn from maybe a municipality not opening up a green space, whereas the county is?
Well, the same thing that Maria said, the fact is that the county administrator, along with the governor on the executive orders and the emergency orders that are given, they talk to the cities, and the cities have the ability to be more restrictive than what the county administrator, in this case Bertha Henry, has been leading this drive about a month now, over a month, of working with the municipalities and the four county leaders and political leaders as well. It appears to me that I think we're all on the same page in the sense of we're trying to take a position that we're using the best practices across the county, and I'm sure the tri-county area as well. So each city will have their own, challenges that they have to face that might be different than other cities. So I think that's how we're working this out now.
Dan, we got to leave it there. Dan West, the head of Broward Parks, and Maria Nardi, the head of Miami-Dade County Parks. To both of you, thanks for your time today here on the Florida Run.
Thank you.
Still to come, the city of Miami's mayor explaining why they're not opening parks yet. We're back on the South Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening and supporting public radio. We're talking about South Florida's first steps at reopening. Some parks, marinas, golf courses, even some pools opened up this week. Some cities are holding off, though. Davie, Miami Gardens, and the city of Miami are just some of the places that have decided to keep these outdoor spaces closed for now. We spoke with Miami Mayor Francis Suarez earlier today about making that call. Mayor Suarez, welcome back to the Florida Roundup and WLRN. Why is the city holding off on reopening parks and marinas?
Thanks, Tom. We have taken sort of a systematic approach, as other governments have indicated, which requires us to reach a gating criteria that we have not determined has been met. In fact, I'm not sure that any other government has determined that it has been met for South Florida, including the governor who said that South Florida wasn't ready. The two other major municipalities in Dade County, Hialeah and Miami Gardens, have similarly decided not to open those facilities. And even Miami Beach, which opened those facilities yesterday, had some major issues with those facilities being open. So
in terms of the number of people not wearing masks and being cited for that.
Correct.
So what's the criteria you're looking at to reopen Miami facilities?
Yeah, the criteria is really the criteria that everyone should be looking at, which is a diminishment, 14 consecutive days of a diminishment of new COVID-19 cases, 14 consecutive days of a diminishment of symptomatic reporting of influenza-like sickness, and then an analysis of the hospital census. We feel good about the hospital census. We're still not certain, based on our consultation with medical experts, that we've met the other two gating criteria. So we're in the final process, hopefully today and Monday, of going through the data that we're receiving on a daily basis to make a determination as to when phase one will be reached, assuming nothing goes, of course, wrong.
This is the criteria that was laid out a couple of weeks ago by the Trump administration and the White House, this 14-day consecutive downward trajectory. When you're looking at the data, are you looking at solely new cases confirmed in the city of Miami with Miami residents?
We're looking really more at Miami-Dade County. It's really difficult to parse the data, and we don't think that any parsing of it is extremely accurate because of some of the parsing is using zip codes, which obviously overlap, and some of the parsing, uses people that were tested in Miami. So we have, for example, the Marlins testing site, which tests a significant amount of non-Miamians in Miami, and we think that those numbers get attributed to the city.
So you're looking at Dade County numbers in terms of flu-like symptoms and new confirmed COVID-19 cases. If you see an increase in any one day, does that set your 14-day clock back to zero?
So that's a good question. And so we're trying to take more of a weighted average because I think, the reporting can be a bit spotty. And we don't control the reporting, which is why we're in constant communication with the Department of Health to determine, when we meet that gating criteria. I've spoken to the Surgeon General three times this week. So we're certainly discussing it with them. We're looking, we're talking to other experts like experts from FIU, from the University of Miami. Once we get, confirmation that we feel that we've reached phase one, or at least that we have an approximate date on phase one, we'll announce that immediately.
You don't have that date yet in mind?
We don't necessarily have a date yet, although I don't anticipate it being much, much longer. I do acknowledge, I've been saying for a while publicly that our stay-at-home orders and our curfew have been working. And I think there's a clear correlation between the orders that we implemented and the diminishment of cases and the fact that we hit a peak, in early April. And so I think, part of the struggle for everybody, for anybody who's on either side of this, is if we open too soon, and we have a flare up again, understanding that I was patient number two out of 12,000 in Miami-Dade County. And I saw how quickly in about a month and in a couple of weeks, we can get up to 12,000 cases. So there's that tension point of if you open too soon, can we have another wave? And if we have another wave, we'd have to close back up again or have a situation like what happened in Miami Beach where they and what just happened in California where they had to reclose beaches. And Miami Beach was, basically their manager said that if things continue, they may have to consider reclosing again.
In terms of the lack of people using masks for outdoor exercise. But let me ask you, the city of Miami is, of course, not an island unto itself in Miami-Dade County. And as you know, the county parks and marinas and golf courses have reopened with social distancing guidelines in place. Do you believe those actions put people at risk?
I guess we'll find out. This will be the first weekend tomorrow where we see, the effect of that order. So we'll see. We'll have a better picture after this weekend. Obviously, there have been, the county spent a significant amount of money on about 400 people to monitor social distancing. We decided to invest that money, that amount of money in, helping small businesses, helping micro enterprises, and also helping people pay their rent. The city is an urban city or a dense city. And so the city doesn't completely, it's not the exact same as the county, just like Miami-Dade County is not exactly
sure,
the same
of
as
course
the state
not.
Of Florida.
But certainly Miami City residents can avail themselves of Miami-Dade County marinas, golf courses, and parks this weekend and then come back to their residence inside the city of Miami.
Absolutely. And, they have every right to do that, of course. And we'll see how the county is able to enforce it. And we'll see, one of the benefits of also going slower is you can sort of take a look and see how it works. It may work. It may not work. If it doesn't work, then obviously, it makes it harder for us to go in that direction. If it does work, then it creates a roadmap for us to be able to go in that direction.
What is on the table as you're looking at the data and then taking action for some kind of reopening for City of Miami facilities? How does that phasing look like for the city?
So phase one, what it looks like is essentially we open up parks and marinas as well. And we also open up businesses to a capacity load of about 25%, which is exactly what essentially phase one has meant in the state of Florida.
So that would include restaurants and retail outlets, for instance?
It would include retail outlets, not restaurants yet. Restaurants would be in phase two, and they would be with specific requirements. So, we have not yet outlined what requirements would be. We're obviously working with our restaurant owners and with experts and medical experts to determine exactly what those requirements will be. And we're hoping that we can publish them soon.
Where do hotels lie in the phased reopening?
Well, hotels have two separate components. There's the hotel rooms, and then there is the common areas and the restaurants. And we think hotels will more likely be in phase one as well, or at least we're hoping to put hotels in phase one, where the hotel rooms per se are open in phase one, but the common areas and the restaurants are subject to the same rules and restrictions as common areas and restaurants would be in phase one. So their common areas and their restaurants would be limited to 25% occupancy capacity.
And the hotels themselves would be limited to 25% room capacity?
No, the hotel rooms would be normal capacity.
And are these plans, how solid are these plans as you're thinking through the placement of hotels? As you know, very important, obviously, to the tax base for the city and also for the employment base in the accommodations industry.
They're extremely important. And I think the other thing, obviously, is, there's one thing about what our regulations would mean for them. And there's a whole other thing about what the market will dictate. And that's something that we don't control. But we're actively speaking with the hotel association. They're at the table with us, and we are working through to make sure that what we do is responsible, but at the same time, also reflective of every specific industry, which is very different.
Yeah. So the plan now for the city of Miami in phase one would be to allow hotel rooms to fully reopen in the city during a phase one?
Correct. That's correct.
And you anticipate this happening in the month of May. Is that fair to say?
I think that's fair to say. I think that's absolutely fair to say. And hopefully mid-May, the latest, that's our hope. But of course, it's going to be a data-driven decision and analysis, and we're hoping to make an announcement on it as soon as we have some clarity.
That data, of course, is driven by testing. Tell us more about some of the testing efforts in the city that are underway to try to get your hands and your head around the latest information.
So we were the first city to do in-home testing for the elderly. We also have probably the most testing that's happening, which is probably a big reason why we also have the most cases in any city in the state of Florida. We have three different testing options, two on-site and one at home. And right now we've gotten to the point where we are essentially testing anyone who wants to get tested. We are now at the asymptomatic sort of testing realm, which is we've gone through, a symptomatic testing at all different age groups. And now we're taking, we're allowing people to get tested at 305-960-5050, 305-960-5050, if they want to get tested. So that also is helping us understand better, how many cases there are in our city.
So no restrictions anymore on who couldn't get tested?
None whatsoever.
And any walk-up facilities, any ability for someone who is not elderly, not over 65, but can't make it to a drive-through facility?
Yes, for those who are, just 18 years or older and can't make it to a drive-through facility, that same number, the 305-960-5050, will schedule an in-home test. So one of our firefighters or a series of our firefighters will actually go to the person's home and test them in their own home if they can't drive up.
That was City of Miami Mayor Francis Suarez. The city decided to keep parks and other open spaces closed. If you've got questions about what is open, you can find a list of parks that are open across South Florida on our website, WLRN.org. Finally, on the roundup this week, the city of Key West is set to begin reopening on Monday, joining much of the rest of the state. Broward, Miami-Dade, and Palm Beach counties, of course, are excluded from this first phase of a new normal. The Florida Keys remain closed, though, to tourists and other non-essential visitors. This week, WLRN's Nancy Klingener captured what it has felt like from the state's southernmost point, a place known for welcoming guests but instead it's been walled off.
First we closed the bars. The cruise ships stopped coming. Then hotels were closed, and there's a checkpoint at the county line. You can't get in unless you live here, work here, own property, or you're bringing us things like food and toilet paper. Some flights are still arriving, but there's hardly anyone on them. Weekend before last, 20 flights came into Key West, bringing a total of 45 people. All of them were screened and ordered to quarantine themselves for 2 weeks, even if they just came from Miami. So now, it's just us, and that eternal struggle over who gets to define this place is in even sharper focus.
That was WLRN's Southernmost reporter Nancy Klinginer and her letter from Key West. You can listen to more of it at WLRN.org. Now, we also have a newsletter that gives you the latest news from throughout the Florida Keys. It's called Tyline. You can sign up for it at WLRN.us/signup. It's WLRN.us/signup. And you can find the latest edition of the Tyline on Twitter. Just look us up, WLRN. That'll do it for the South Florida Roundup this week. It is produced by Alexander Gonzalez. Our engagement editor is Katie Lepre. Lance Dixon is our digital editor. News director Terrence Shepard. Alicia Zuckerman, our editorial director. WLRN's director of radio programming is Jason Zabka. The director of radio operations and the program's technical supervisor is Peter J. Mertz. Richard Ives answered the phones. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for calling, listening, and supporting public radio. This program is made possible by Willie the Bee Man, bee removal specialist.